Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We are in between series. We're going to start a series next week in the book of Ruth. But today I want to turn your attention to what I believe are some of the greatest words in all the Bible. This is one of my favorite passages. And really this passage reminds us of just how important it is to be plugged into the local body, to a body of believers. You know, there's some things that just go better together. Peanut butter just goes better with jelly. Now, don't you say banana. Some of you I know like that, but peanut butter and jelly goes better together. Burgers just go better with fries. And Oreos just go better when they're dipped in milk. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry now. Is it lunchtime yet? But it's better. You can be a Christian by your faith in Jesus Christ, but it's better to be linked and united and bonded together in a local body. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It is better to be part of a church. We're greater together when we're part of the church. And you can live your life and do okay, but you'll never be all that God wants you to be. You'll never be all you could be until you are plugged in to this local body called the church. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to talk about being greater together today. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and these are some great and inspiring words about why we are greater together. Verse 11 says, "And he," and the he means Jesus, "Jesus personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part." Father, I thank You so much for Your holy, inspired Word. Jesus, I thank You for Your idea of the church. I thank You, Father, for how You have worked and done all the good through the church through the centuries. Lord, I thank You for the church today. Help us in this message today to understand how we can be greater together. God, I pray that You would help me as I preach this message today. I ask that Your Holy Spirit would be speaking through me and helping me with my remarks today. I thank You, Lord, for Your salvation. I also thank You for the structure that You give us so that we can grow and be all that You want us to be. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, most of you would probably agree, if you've been around long enough, that a lot has changed since the 1960s. You know, since around 1960, there's a lot of Americans that have become anti-institutional. Americans just don't trust organizations and institutions like they once did. Some of it is our own fault. Sometimes leaders have disappointed us, even at the highest levels. But there's a real cynicism today towards anything that is considered institutional. And therefore, that spills over into the church. It's very common, for instance, these days to hear people say, "You know, I really don't believe in organized religion." You know what they're saying when they're saying that, don't you? That means they believe in disorganized religion. Well, the irony is, most people have a real hunger to belong to something, to be a part of something that is greater than themselves. A lot of people want to be loved. They want to be a part of something. By the way, that's why a young man who grows up in a fatherless home, in a horrible situation in a ghetto, ends up in a gang 9 times out of 10. Because they want to belong to something. And so it's just ironic to me that people are abandoning the church when they really long for community. What they really want is to be a part of something that is bigger than themselves. Listen to this. I saw this statistic recently, and this is from one of those organizations like Pew or Lifeway Research. A question was asked, can a person be a good Christian without ever going to church? 81% of the respondents agreed that that statement was true. That ought to break your heart. Something is wrong with that picture. We're talking millions of people who claim to identify with Jesus Christ, to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, frankly, probably not all those people really do have a relationship with Jesus, but they at least claim to. And as they're surveyed, they've given up on church, and the majority would say today, church didn't do anything for me. That ought to break your heart. That breaks my heart. I think we need to do something about it, and that's what I intend to do today. I want to preach to you of why we are greater together. I want you to know that abandoning the church of the living God is a huge mistake. It's a mistake for a number of reasons, and most of the good that has been done on this side of the cross has been done through the church. And it's still true today. And so what I want to do is take these next few minutes from this passage. And yes, we're talking about volunteers and serving in some of those areas, but I want to take it broader than that. As I thought about my remarks today, I want to broaden it, and I want to really talk about why you need the church and why the church needs you. Why are we like those milk and cookies, like that burger and fries, peanut butter and jelly? Why are we greater together? I believe there are four reasons, and Paul talks about them here in chapter 4. Again, this is an amazing, inspiring picture of the fact that we are greater together. There's four reasons why we're greater together. Reason number one, we are greater together because every believer needs a coach. I'm going to use sports vernacular here. You guys that aren't sports fans, just bear with me. There's a point to it. But I'm going to use sports vernacular. But we are greater together because every believer needs a coach. I don't know if you follow sports these days, but it doesn't matter if it's an Olympic athlete or a professional athlete or even a high school athlete. Most everybody has a coach today of some kind, whether it's an individual sport or a team sport. A lot of times, even individuals. I was watching, now I don't often watch this, okay? Don't judge me. But I was on the treadmill where there's only like three stations, and I was watching Dr. Phil the other day. And Dr. Phil was talking to a really messed up family, and it was a girl who was pregnant, and she really didn't want to have the baby, and she didn't think she could take care of it, and the mother was ready to write her off, and they were really at odds. And Dr. Phil offered to hire a life coach for this family. I don't even know for sure what a life coach is. But I'd like to be your life coach using God's Word to help you. Every believer needs a coach. And I'm not the only coach in this church. Obviously, Bradley is pastoral staff and he's a coach. But you know what? Most of the coaches in this church are volunteers. They're not hired staff. But God raises up leaders in the church. People who can help you. And they help you by instructing you in the Word of God. And I hope you value that. You know, some people blow that off. Some of you right in here today, you need to get involved in a life group. A lot of people, I hear people say, well, Sunday school, isn't that, Pastor, isn't that just for kids? You know what? You are always going to be a student. You're always going to need a coach. There's never going to be a time where you don't need to be involved in a life group studying the Word of God. And you know what? God has put people in this church to specifically fulfill the role of coaching. Helping you with your life situation. Let's get back in the passage here. Look what it says. Here's this idea of the coach in verse 11. He personally gave some to be apostles and some prophets. Now, those individuals or offices, they're not here in the church anymore. But their wisdom is here in the Word of God. And we can learn still today from the apostles and the prophets and the words that they have written in the Holy Word of God. But here we go, reading on in this. Some are evangelists and some are pastors and teachers. God has put people in the church, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are people who can help us grow right now. They can help us to understand God's Word. They can help us to get on the path to victory, on the path to be stronger in our faith, and on the path to being greater witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what about this idea of an evangelist? Isn't that some guy that travels around and goes and holds meetings and preaches? Well, yes, I believe there is an office of evangelist, but you know, there's people that can help you right here. And you say, well, Pastor, do I really need a coach who's an evangelist? Well, let me ask you this question. How many people have you led to the Lord so far this year? How many people have you led to the Lord in the last year? How many people are you even intentionally discipling or trying to build a relationship with? You need evangelists in your life. And you know what? We have people in this church who have that gift. People can instruct you. And some of it may be just hanging around with those people, just doing what they're doing, being in their life group, being in their small group on Sunday night. And I hope that you will take that seriously, because that's what Christ called us to do, to go and make disciples. And we are to do that. That's the business we're to be about. Are you intentionally mentoring anyone today? If you're not, you need to give some thought to your spiritual progress right now, or at least being mentored. Some of you may be baby Christians. You may have recently come into the faith, and that's okay. But all of us need a coach. I'll never forget when I was a freshman in high school. I thought I was a pretty good basketball player, and I thought I could play, and I thought I could even probably get quite a bit of time on the JV team that year. And this coach burst my bubble when he told me I needed to learn how to shoot. I had never learned how to properly shoot the ball. And so I spent my freshman year basically learning how to shoot all over again. And I was bad at first. I mean, I was bad because it felt awkward. It wasn't how I was used to shooting. But I listened to my coach. I let him guide me. And 2 and 3 years later, in my junior and senior year, I was awfully glad I listened to him. And I think so was the rest of the team. You need to listen to your coach. You see, Jesus raises up leaders to equip the members of the church to serve. Part of what we are doing as leadership is equipping you. You ask me, well, what's your role? You know, a lot of people have the mistaken idea that a pastor's role is to go and win all the people to Christ, and to go in and make all the visits in the hospital, and to go in and take care of all the problems and do all the counseling. And you know what that recipe leads to? A burned out pastor. And there's a lot of dysfunctional churches because they're putting all the work on the pastor. Now listen, I'm not trying to talk myself out of a job, and I'm not lazy. And if I ever am lazy, kick me in the tail and get me going again. But I'm telling you, it says right here in God's Word that I'm to equip you. Bradley is to equip you. And these other leaders who are teachers in our church that God has raised up, they are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And why is that? To build up the body of Christ. You see, Jesus raises up leaders to build up the church. We had a leadership meeting not too long ago where we played a leadership game that was put out by John Maxwell. And one of the things that we came across in that meeting is that we need to be intentional about discipling, intentional about developing leaders. And that's still a work in progress, but I'm excited. That's the next step. That's the next phase in the growth of Hillcrest, is we're going to become intentional in our discipleship. And we're going to do some things that we can do to get better at that. And Jesus is going to raise up leaders to build the body, because that's really what this passage is all about. What's the goal when you come to church? Is it to sit here for 20, 30, 40 years and listen to messages and never act on them? No, that's not it at all. The goal of the church is we want to help you to grow up. Now take that in the right way, okay? Don't throw anything at me. But really, it's a process. God has put you in this structure so we can grow you from a baby to an adult. Now how does that happen? Well, that happens naturally or biologically when we're fed and watered and cared for, and it happens naturally. But in the church, it happens intentionally. As you're intentionally fed the Word of God, and intentionally your strength and your muscles are strengthened as you go out and apply what you've learned. And it happens best together. I guess the point I'm trying to make is you are better or greater together. When you opt out of church, when you opt out of getting in a life group, or you're not under the study and the teaching of God's Word, you are abandoning God's plan not only for you, but for the church, and to change the world. And that's pretty important. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I will build my church. It's the only thing Jesus ever said he was going to build. And he builds it intentionally through coaches. We are greater together because every believer needs a coach. Second, we are greater together because every believer needs a team. Every believer needs a team. You will never accomplish all that God has or wants you to do by yourself. Christianity is not a solitary pursuit. It's a team sport, if you will. It is designed for us to work and cooperate together, to serve together, to go out together, and to grow together and learn together. And so I want you today to think of the church as a team. We are a team. And the heart of a team is what? It's unity. You're united around a common purpose, a common core conviction, and a common goal. And so we are united as a team. Look back in this passage. In the first part of verse 13, it says, he's raised up these pastors and teachers and evangelists for the training of the saints to build up the body of Christ until, look at this, verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son. Now hear what that's saying. When that talks about unity, we're not a team because we all look alike, we all act alike, think alike. We're not all alike. And really, that's what a team, that's why this is a team sport. That's intentional. That's God's design, is to bring different types of people together. I often like to tell people that one of the things that I love about the church is its diversity. Now, I'm not talking about just ethnic diversity, although I wish the church was more ethnically diverse. Wouldn't it be great? What was it Martin Luther King, that was back when church started at 11 o'clock in the morning. He said 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour on Sunday morning, the most segregated hour in the country. Man, that's sad. I wish we were more diverse, and we ought to work to get more diverse. But I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about even if we have the same ethnicity, all of us are different. We have different backgrounds. We came to Christ in different ways. We have different interests. We have different skills. We have different professions. We're at different stages in life. And I have some dear friends that I would never be friends with. Not because I don't like them, but because the church brought us together. And so we're greater together. And we need to understand that these differences are actually strengths. And so here's what I'm trying to say. We are a team, first of all, because we're like a body. We're a body. Again, we're not an institution. We're not a denomination. I'm not even sure I like the term organization, although I do like organized religion. What we really are is a body. We're a body of people who have been joined together for a great purpose and a great work. Taking you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this chapter. I really wrestled with whether to preach this or preach Ephesians 4. And God led me to Ephesians 4. But in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, it says, there are many parts, but one body. And towards the end of that, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. What I love about that is their strategy. God is being intentional in bringing together different people. And the things that sometimes cause angst and problems and we knock our heads together, really that's God's strategy. It's a beautiful thing when we can work together. Think of the human body. That's the illustration Paul is using there. He's talking about how we are different. You have hands that have a different function than your feet. Eyes have a different function than your ears. And if you read through that passage, you'll see that the ear kind of argues and says, I wish I was an eye. And it's silly. God made you to be you in this body. And we're missing you when you're not a part of this body. And that's the idea of unity. Diversity is strategic. And it always will exist in the body of Christ. And it always will function for a specific purpose of pulling together and growing His kingdom together. But not only are we a team because we're like a body, we are a team because we are like a family. That's another term that you'll hear me use a lot about the body at Hillcrest. We're like a family. We're like a big family. Don't think about, like, you know, I didn't have a very big family. I just had one brother, and I just have two sons. I want you to think about a big family. Some of y'all came from a big family. I've heard you talk about it. Think about a family like the Waltons. If you're old enough, you remember the Walton. But think about it. That was a popular television show. They had a big family. And sometimes it was messy. Sometimes somebody would be at odds with somebody else. But that family always pulled together. And they always had each other's back. And they were always united together. And what ultimately united this big family together was what? Love. Love was the common denominator. That's what binds it all together in the church too, by the way, is love. Jesus said, they will know that you are my followers by your love. And so it's love that binds it all together. Families stay together because of their roots. Families bind together because of their love. And love is the distinguishing mark of the Christian faith. I love this quote by David Allen, and I want to share it with you right now, because this again just illustrates how we are a team, because we are like a family. David Allen said one time, love is the circulatory system of the church. If the arteries get clogged, the church is in danger of going into spiritual cardiac arrest. We are a team because we're like a family. And the purpose or the point of being a family is love. We need to love one another just like we love our family. Thirdly, we are a team because we are like an army. We are like an army. That's the third picture I want you to see, is we're like an army. What I mean by that is we have a mission. We are bonded together by a specific purpose. And Jesus made it very clear right before he left the earth and went back to heaven what we are to go and do. We're to go into all the world, to go everywhere telling people and making disciples and baptizing them, helping them, in other words, to publicly identify with their Savior Jesus once they've made a decision to trust and follow him. And we're to go everywhere doing that and telling people about Jesus and growing and not just dunking him and dropping him, but discipling them, continuing to take them through the lessons of the faith and growing them together. Folks, we have a clear mission. But here's the thing, why I use this terminology, the army, we also have a clear enemy. There's an enemy that doesn't want us to succeed. It's not like we're just out there doing this and nobody's bothering us. The enemy wants to shake us up. He wants to make us recoil in fear. He wants to keep us from doing or achieving the objective or the mission that God has clearly placed before us. And so, we're a team. Think of yourselves as a team. I want you to look around right now. These are your teammates. These are the ones that God has assembled for this team. Team Hillcrest. And Team Hillcrest is on a mission. We have a specific purpose and we've got to get it achieved. Now, we can't do some of the things that other churches are doing, but we can do what God has called Hillcrest to do, and let's do it with all our might. Let's do it to the glory of God, and let's see what God might do through Hillcrest. We might be an underdog in the eyes of some, but you know what? Underdogs sometimes win. Sometimes underdogs win championships, and this underdog can win if we'll fight with the right passion and the right ministry and with the right God. Listen, we're on a clear mission. I want you to think about a football team is unified, it doesn't mean that everybody plays the same position or has the same role. It does mean that everyone is headed towards the same goal line. All right, let's take another illustration. Let's say you're not a football fan. That's okay. What if you played in an orchestra? You love instruments. You're musically talented. If an orchestra is harmonious, it's not because they all play the same instrument, but they do play the same song. Finally, what if you love to sing? Man, you've got a beautiful voice and you love to sing in the choir. If a choir is harmonious, it's not because everybody's necessarily singing the same part. You may have tenors up there and basses and altos and sopranos, but guess what? They are adding their part to the same song. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to be about a team. We've got to work together like a team. Love them or hate them, one of the greatest teams in the NBA is the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics have a great tradition. They've won more NBA championships than any other team in history. 17 of them. Here's what I found out about the Celtics. I did a little research on them. Do you know that over the period in the late 50s through most of the 60s, they won 11 of their 17 championships? In fact, they actually won 8 in a row between 1959 and 1966. And the architect of these great teams was a man named Red Auerbach. Now, he used to chomp a cigar, and he was really quite a character. But he was the architect of these teams. And basically, when they asked him, why were these Celtic teams so great? He didn't mention Bill Russell or Cousy or any of their individual athletes. He mentioned the team. He said, it's teamwork. This is what he said. Listen to what he said. This is a quote from Red Auerbach. Everything we've done has been the result of people working together to meet our common goals. You know, Auerbach was also the general manager, and he would pay his players not based upon what their individual statistics, but based upon what they did to help their team win, not their own personal accomplishments. And so we need to see ourselves as a team. We're a team. Thirdly, we are greater together because every believer needs a game plan. Not only do you need a coach, and you need a team, but every believer needs a game plan. And we need to implement that game plan. Now, a game plan is basically just a carefully thought out strategy for achieving an objective. And in sports, as we're talking about today, the overall strategy is to win the game, to win the series, to win the championship. And so there's a strategy to do that. And in that strategy, you've got to size up your opponent. You've got to look at your strengths. You got to look at what the goal is, and you got to put it all together in a strategy. And that's basically what we're doing. And basically what Paul is talking about here regarding strategy, Paul is saying the key to accomplishing our goal as a church is one word: maturity. Paul says we can accomplish our goal, we can use our strategy to bring victory, we can game plan for victory when all of us are headed towards maturity. Maturity is what we ought to be excited about for everyone. Now, it's not enough just for the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the choir and the worship pastor to all be mature, and the pastor too. I guess that'd be a good thing. But everyone, we ought to be concerned about the weakest person in this church. All of us ought to be on the road to maturity. That's how we're really going to game plan. That's how we're going to win the game. We need to grow up in unity. Look with me back in the passage again. Paul says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. And here's where I think he's talking about everyone. Verse 14 is so important. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. By the way, that enemy, did you know that he's a deceiver? That he would love nothing better than to get you out here somewhere looking at something besides the truth of God's Word. And he wants you to be out there on these winds of deceit and tossed around by these waves. He wants you to be going back and forth, not really sure what you believe. He doesn't want you to be stronger. And so what we want to do is we want to grow Christians here that are strong. If we have strong, mature Christians, they can get into the game plan and win. If we have guys that aren't ready for the game, it's kind of like how they have two-a-days. Whether you're a college athlete or a pro athlete or even a high school athlete, before football begins, you got to get strong. In fact, those football players at our high school are working in the weight room right now, all through the year, to get strong. And so I think that's the key to us, is we've got to get stronger together. And so here's the deal. Maturity happens best when we grow together. Maturity happens best when we, learn together. First one is learn together. You see, the church can help you learn spiritual truth and discern spiritual error. And that's why we have life groups. That's why we have Bible study together. That's why it's important that we teach. Now, listen. There is nothing wrong with home Bible studies. That's a good thing. I'm talking about when you gather on an informal basis in a home with someone. But you need to be under the authority of a church. You need to be growing together, learning together. And there needs to be a plan behind that. and without sound teaching, verse 14 says you're a prime candidate to be led astray. And so come into the church. And man, that's why I'm so thankful God has put several great teachers in this church. We have some folks that just love to teach. They love to prepare and plan. That's their gift. That's their contribution to the church. And it's important that we do that, whether it's with children or with teenagers or with adults. Everyone needs to be involved learning together. That's how maturity happens. But second, maturity happens best when we grow together. When we not only hear the word, but we apply it together. And we go out together for specific missions and purposes. When we decide we're going to share our faith, let's do it together. When we decide that we're going to practice some of the spiritual disciplines, let's do it together. We need to be in a group. Notice how it says here, speaking the truth in a loving way. You need to be in a group where your Christian friends help you to dig deeper into your personal faith. Do you have that kind of person in your life right now? You know what? You will if you get really plugged into a life group. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about becoming better together. Digging into the scripture. Speaking the truth in love. And in the process, maturing and becoming more like Jesus. Finally, maturity happens best when we serve together. When we literally go out and serve for the kingdom and the glory of God together. And so, when we have a mission opportunity, you got to jump on it. Now, sometimes those mission opportunities are a long ways away, and I recognize some of you may never be able to go to Africa, although you ought to at least pray about it and see if it's God's will. But even if you can never go there, there's opportunities right here that abound, and you ought to jump on them. VBS is a great opportunity. You ought to be involved in some way. There's something for everyone, no matter what your gifting is, in VBS. You ought to be involved in some of our children's ministries if God leads you that way. Man, I'll tell you what, if you've got something on your heart for the teenagers, you ought to plug in somehow. You ought to plug in if we've got folks that go out regularly, every week, to visit folks in the nursing homes. Seniors that feel like they're forgotten and nobody cares about them. What a wonderful ministry. You can plug in. You've got interests and abilities. Some of you are artistic. Man, I can't even draw a stick man right. But you can use that for the glory of God. If you're techie, man, use it for the glory of God and get to work in the sound system. Man, whatever it is you do, if you like to build and work on things, boy, have we got some guys that would love to recruit you. And they keep our church looking great. But what I'm saying is there's a place for you to serve in the body. And I guess that leads me to my last point today. We are greater together because every believer needs a position to play. Every believer needs a position to play. You see, the happiest people at Hillcrest Baptist Church, or any church for that matter, are those who are serving in a ministry that they love to do, serving alongside people that they enjoy being with, and where God is using their life to make a difference in the world around them. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm telling you, when you find your spot, when you find where it is that God wants you to plug in, and you start doing that with all your heart, that's what the Christian life is all about. I mean, we're not just here for our transportation to be taken up to heaven. We're here on earth for the remainder of our time here for our transformation. And transformation happens best when we are plugged in and serving and finding a position. Now, let me say this. If you have not found a place to serve here at Hillcrest at this point, you need to look at the needs, first of all. You need to take this sheet of paper. It's not too late to turn it in yet. And look at the needs and seriously consider why God has brought you here. Maybe you're new here. It could be God has brought you here to fill a need. And we do have some needs in our church right now. It could be that God has brought you here to drive a van on Wednesday night. Or to help in a certain Sunday school class, maybe coming up in this new year. Or to be a part of something. Maybe God has brought you here for such a time as this. Maybe God has brought you here to start a new ministry. You know what? I'm not opposed to that. Come in my office. Let's talk about it. If I see God's put it on your heart, we'll start it. But you know what? If you brought it up, you're going to lead it. Just saying. There's different areas where we need people. Now, here's the thing. You may think your past has been too rocky. You may think that you've done some things and, man, it's been tough and I don't know that God could ever use anybody like me. Well, join the club. I mean, we're all sinners saved by grace. All of us have a past. And you know what? All of the guys in here had a past. You look at the guys that were the heroes of the faith, and all of them had rocky times in their lives. So that's not going to preclude you from serving. If you love Jesus and you've been saved and cleansed by His blood, sure, you've got a future. God is the God of second chances. Just ask Peter if you don't believe that. Some of you may be shy and you're introverted. You think, man, Pastor, I could never do what you're doing. Then don't do it. Now, if God calls you, you never know what God might do with you. I was one time shy, and I'm still shy and introverted. And God's got me up here doing this. But maybe that's not you. That may not be your fit. Man, there's all kinds of opportunities. There's things going on behind the scenes this very moment. There are people working with our children upstairs and in the nursery. And they're serving. They're doing a great work for the kingdom. So your personality doesn't matter. There's things for you to do. Listen, the people who open the doors on Sunday morning and greet people, that's the first smiling face they see. Your faces better be smiling. Praise God for what they're doing. It's important. And the people who praise for the staff, man, I thank God for those people. They help me through the trials and the rocky times in my life. The person who teaches the lesson, the people who preaches, the one who leads the songs, we're all equally important. Get this, everybody in Christ's body is a somebody. You understand that? I don't care what it is you do or what you feel like you can't do. Everybody's important in the body. Look at what it says here back in this last verse. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. So what is it, you say? Pastor, how do I discover? Let me give you three things, then I'm going to finish today. Three ways that you can maybe discover where you might be a good fit in this church. These are three simple questions you can ask yourself. Ask yourself this as you're filling out this form. Ask yourself this as you look at opportunities that come up. Every week, Keith has announcements. This is a very busy church, and it's for a reason, because we want to be busy. We want to work till Jesus comes. So here's three questions we can ask together, all right? Number one, what am I passionate about? Just ask yourself, what am I passionate about? What's something that I just get excited thinking about it? You know, it may be a ministry. Or it may be something you enjoy, like a hobby that you could use. How could you use that for the glory of God? Here's what I know. The best volunteers are not the ones that serve out of duty. They're the ones that serve because they feel called. They feel passionate. They serve because, man, I love doing this and I love impacting people in this area. So what do you love to do? And how can you do it for the glory of God? That may be part of your call. Again, it may be teaching, but it may be cooking. It could be any number of things. Photography, fixing things. Like I said before, there's all kinds of areas where you can serve in this church. Number two question. Where am I most effective? Where am I most effective? What area of the church can I plug into where I can be very effective? Now, this may take some experimentation. Some of you know exactly where you need to be. And you've worked before and you know exactly where your skills are. Others may not have a good idea yet. But you know what? You need to experiment. You need to pray about it. You need to maybe say yes when somebody asks you to do something a little bit outside your comfort zone. I never knew I'd be up here until I said yes when somebody asked me to teach, to be a substitute Sunday school teacher several years ago in my home church. And then think about the experiences you've had. Good experiences and bad experiences. Do you know when you're a Christian, no experience is a wasted experience? It may be that God has put you through a horrible time so that later on, maybe years later, you could speak into the life of another. And it always amazes me, I know it's God, how God will put people together in a church at just the right time so that someone can provide a word of encouragement. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Norm's going to put that up on the screen. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Isn't that great? Maybe that's your role right now. You may be here because somebody's going through a very difficult time, and you've lived to see the other side and to tell about it. Man, that's why Grief Share is such an important ministry, and it starts up tonight as well. And we're grateful for Don and Vicki and those that are helping with Grief Share. Here's a third one that you may not think about. Third and final question. What really bothers me? What really bugs me? I know you didn't expect me to ask that question, but it may be that you're the answer to a problem. What is it that really bothers me in this church? I don't know what it is, but if you can't stand bad teaching, maybe you can do it better. Maybe God has put a passion and wired you to be a teacher in some way in this church. If you can't stand children growing up not knowing Jesus, for goodness sake, get involved in Awana. Get involved in Children's Church. Be involved working with the children in some way. And if you're bothered by disrespectful teenagers or teenagers that are lukewarm, goodness sakes, get involved in the teenagers ministry. Bradley, we'd love to get you hooked up in there some way. You see what I'm saying? If you think people are being neglected in some way, don't complain. Don't run down the pastor. I mean, I get enough rocks thrown at me. Just take it upon yourself and do it. Take that ministry upon yourself. Think about your passion, your skills, and your irritation, and you'll have a pretty good idea of where God wants you to serve in the body at Hillcrest Baptist Church. And here's what I promise you, all right? If you'll do that, we'll be greater together. Let me close with an illustration. There was a lady who was a VBS teacher one year, and she taught second grade VBS children. And there was a boy that came in late the first day of VBS, and she barely got to meet him, and she noticed that this little boy just had one arm. And so she really didn't get to talk to him at length, but she was going through her lesson and all the things she did. VBS is hectic and crazy and busy. And at the end of it, she had this little thing she would have them do every day. Some of you have seen this before, and I have to turn around this way to get you to do it right. It's where it says that she would say, this is the church, and this is the steeple. Open the door, and here's all the people. And it was just to teach them a little lesson about the church. And before she even thought about that little boy, she had him do it. Well, you know what happened? She saw him, and her heart sank, and she just about cried. She said, oh, he's not going to be able to do that. But without missing a beat, a little girl came up and took her right hand and put it into his left hand and said, let's build the church together. Folks, that's what we need to do. Let's build Hillcrest Baptist Church together because we are greater together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With your head bowed and your eye closed today, I don't know how God spoke to you today in this message. I know this message was for believers and for people who are kind of checking out our church, but they're not fully committed yet. But I've got a word maybe for someone here today who's never accepted Christ as their Savior. Before you can even be a baby Christian, you've got to be born. Really, you've got to be born again. That's what happened with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus one night as a teacher of the law, and he was seeking wisdom for spiritual growth. Jesus told him, you must be born again. And there may be somebody here today that's heard my message, and you need to be born again. That just means that there needs to be a time where you are convicted of your sins, you're drawn by the Holy Spirit, and you make a conscious choice to turn from your sin and yourself. Repentance is what that's called, and trust Christ only. You're not trusting baptism. You're not trusting church membership. You're not trusting good works or giving money. You're trusting Jesus. When you stand before God and ask Him one day, and He asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? You will answer Him, because I've received Jesus as my Savior. And you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Your sins have been removed from you because Jesus took the wrath of God upon Himself. That's what I'm talking about being born again. And if that's never happened for you, you can't go back to a time in your life. You weren't born a Christian. You weren't born into a Christian home. You become a Christian when you make this decision to trust Christ only. Then today I'd like to lead you in a prayer. I'd like to lead you right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. And you can just pray this silently. But you know what? This prayer, these words need to reflect what is in your heart right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin separates me from you. I believe you died for me on the cross and you rose again. And I believe that you're God. Will you please forgive me of my sins? I repent. I don't like my life as it is right now. I know that my sins are against you. Please forgive me and cleanse me and come into my heart and life. Help me to live for you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me, and I trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer right now, you have an opportunity to come forward during this invitation and publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe there's others that need to come forward today, and you need to make a decision to serve somewhere, or you need to place your membership in this church, or maybe you just need to pray at this altar. Whatever it is, this is our invitation. You please stand as Keith leads us in this song, and we're going to sing together, think about the words of the song, but you don't hesitate if the Holy Spirit is drawing you to come forward today.